This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. All right, last night, the Texans beating the Indianapolis Colts 20-17 in a game. It wasn't as entertaining in terms of quality of play, but it did come down to a one-possession game. Bad decisions by Frank Reich that cost the Colts, but overall, their inability to throw the ball consistently, T.Y. Hilton was hurt. They like to run the ball anyway. I think cost them in this game. Not a must-win, close, as we've been talking about today, given that both teams were 6-4 and leading the division. But nevertheless, you get this late in the season, don't start coughing games away, especially games that you're in the fourth quarter where you can get the ball and you have a chance to win. I thought they made bad uses of a few timeouts. I thought they made bad use of the clock. There was a controversy in the game. Deshaun Watson appeared to have fumbled the ball. They did not review it. It seemed to have been recovered by the Colts, but there was no review. Houston ended up with the ball back and then ran out the clock. Who knows even if they had reviewed it and given the Colts the ball, if the Colts had even the ability to move down the field to get even close to some sort of a kick, an Adam Vinatieri field goal, who's been struggling this season to win it. But nevertheless, what we've been saying all week leading up into a game like this is still valid for Indianapolis. You are now in the same position as Baltimore, as Pittsburgh, as, teams that are vying for this playoff spot. Tennessee Titans at 4-5, the Oakland Raiders at 6-4, teams that are trying to get themselves into that wild card race, and the one wild card spot as of today that is really up for grabs, unless the Bills come back to the norm a little bit. As good as Buffalo is, this has been the problem with any NFC East team, AFC East team, is that they're not good enough to beat the Patriots when the Patriots can establish a record of 13-3 or 14-2 or 12-4. So they're trying to find themselves in a wild card race. Now, if the Bills come back down to earth a little bit, it opens it up. But if they don't, and they keep winning games, and they've got the Denver Broncos coming up this weekend, there's a lot of good quality teams that are going to have good seasons. Not great seasons, but good seasons that are not going to the playoffs, because everybody's been going to be fighting for one spot. The Texans, there's a little bit of a breathing room now. You've got that one game lead over the Colts as you go into the final five games of the year. The things to watch and the things not to watch next in the NFL.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, we're going to be going over the NFL schedule, what to watch, what not to watch. These are Grammy songs that are going to be celebrated next year, early next year, the 2019 Grammy Award nominees, I should say. Who's this?
Shawn Mendes and Camila Cabello.
Oh, very nice. Very good. Shawn Mendes, I know. I don't know the other one, but doesn't mean she's not
talented.
Yeah,
you definitely want to check her out, by the way.
Okay, I do.
Right. Yeah. Oh.
Before we get to the games this weekend, today is the anniversary of the Kennedy assassination.
Wait, what?
Yes. November 22nd, 1963 in Dallas. Now, to relate this to the NFL, one of the greatest, Pete Rozelle's biggest regret was he did not cancel games the weekend of the Kennedy assassination.
Shocking.
Yeah. Very shocking.
Very. I mean, it really is.
I understood the thought process trying to get the country to heal, but that was a little too quick.
Yeah. Because was he shot on a Thursday or Friday?
I don't remember the day of the week, but nevertheless.
I felt it was close to the weekend.
Yeah. Nevertheless, the weekend was going into the weekend. He probably should have. Because remember, he was making the NFL teams continue to work that week, getting prepared for the games that weekend. So instead of just saying, hey, everybody go mourn as the country and we'll get back at it later. Now he was like, games must go on. And that means people are working, right? They're going to work, trying to work, whatever. So they said that was the biggest regret. But on this date, 1963, John F. Kennedy was assassinated. So
It was a Friday.
It was a Friday. I was, wow, that's even that. Well, everything was prepped up and ready to go, probably. And he said, well, just let it roll.
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody's all good. Let's just let it roll. But again, that he regret. I'm not a Kennedy I'm not an assassination conspiracy theorist.
No, but I
used to be, but I'm not anymore.
I will say this. I'm not a conspiracy theorist either, but I do love the Kennedy-Lincoln similarities.
I do. That is pretty is pretty freaky.
Those are bizarre.
Very bizarre. That is very, very freaky.
And I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm not sure if he warrants this, but wouldn't you think if they were going to add a head to Mount Rushmore that Kennedy would be it?
Yeah, I could see that.
Or would you go more Franklin Roosevelt?
I'd go more with Franklin Pierce, but that's just
Franklin Pierce.
Yeah, the New Hampshire's own Franklin Pierce.
Of course.
No, yeah, John F. Kennedy, yeah, popular president, young president, just didn't get the full, two terms that you kind of are looking for some.
Right, didn't get the full one term.
Didn't get the full one term, right. You know. All right, so let's get to the games coming up this weekend that are going to be happening coming up on Sunday. Mercedes-Benz Stadium is where we're going to be starting. The Atlanta Falcons taking on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Falcons at 3-7, like we said earlier, playing much better since the bye week. You know what? Watch this game to see how many interceptions Jameis Winston might throw in this one. He's thrown a ton. 18 of them so far. He's in the same level of Jay Cutler in terms of this most interceptions through this part of the season. He could end up with the most in NFL history in a single season. Atlanta's defense has held the Saints and the Carolina Panthers to field goals. I like this one. I would watch this one just for the see if the Falcons have really turned things around, even though they're not going to the playoffs. And does Jameis Winston continue to just provide the entertainment on being either good or bad?
Yeah, this
position.
This, I mean, has the potential of being historic, can we say, right?
Yeah. He could throw 5 picks.
You know, the Falcons are a resurging defense right now. I mean, they're firing on all cylinders.
If they do this to the Buccaneers like they did to the Panthers and the Saints, this is not just an anomaly. This would be a trend. Like, that'd be 3 straight games.
Yeah. Or maybe it's just he needs to do it against AFC opponents.
Maybe so.
AFC or NFC.
NFC, yeah.
NFC South.
Yeah, maybe so. That's a little odd scheduling quirk, isn't it? The Falcons have played 3 straight divisional games.
Yeah, it is.
So,
but if he does have a really bad day where he's just throwing interception after interception, does Bruce Arians just go, okay, I'm pulling the plug, I'm done?
I mentioned this earlier.
I'm
what
trading
do you
for
love?
Mariota.
I mentioned it earlier, right? I said the same thing about Rudolph with the Steelers. When you come out and publicly say how much you love the guy, how much you create, tell me. Bruce Arians and the rest of the Buccaneers, tell me what you love about Jameis Winston. It can't just be off the field stuff. It can't be the way he's a leader, way he gives to charity. Tell me what you love about the way he's playing the game right now, because I don't see it. I just don't see it. The Broncos at the Bills. Look, guys, I know on paper the Broncos are 3-7, and there's no reason to be excited about them. But the Broncos are losing games in the final seconds, final possessions, more than any of the teams. 5 of their losses this year have come by 1 possession. Now, as I said earlier, I don't know if that's good, meaning they're close, or if it's just one of those quirky football things that still doesn't mean they're a good team on the wrong side of the score, if you know what I mean. But the Bills are worth watching because the Bills have the potential to continue to surprise us or have the potential to give us a game where they fall flat. I think this game is going to be close from an entertainment standpoint. I think you should watch the Bills because they're a playoff team as of right now. Hope they continue to be a playoff team because I think the city of Buffalo could use another boost. But I'm not throwing this one away because the Broncos stink. I'm making this in because the Bills are good and the Broncos might be able to play with them.
No, I think you're right. Keep this game on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you could see something shocking. I mean, only the Chargers have more close losses than the Broncos at this point.
And the Allens will be a quarterback, although they're not related. Brandon Allen and Josh Allen. So
you think
there's a little angle there.
They'll do the jersey swap at the end, right?
Maybe. That'll be fun, shouldn't they?
Is that a new thing this year, by the way?
I've seen it before, but I don't know how long
it's been. I mean, I've seen it in the
past,
but now I'm starting to see it more and more where the superstar players go and exchange jerseys at midfield.
Right.
I like it. I kind of like it.
I do. Let's kind of dig it. Giants at the Bears. Yuck, yuck, yuck.
No, this is must watch all the way.
If you want to watch how many times Daniel Jones fumbles the football, that would be a good thing.
Or Trubisky throwing it to the other team or just playing out second.
What are they doing with Trubisky? What's the deal with...
That is this
another one of those?
God, that's such a bad spot for him to be in right now.
Yeah, I know.
Because you're constantly, I mean, all the media ever focuses on is the fact like, hey, Bears could have had Mahomes. Bears could have had Watson.
All day, every day, they're reminding the Bears of this.
I mean,
right?
It's got to be. I mean, it's to the point where, you know, Trubisky said he wanted to turn off the TVs in Hallis Hall because they were negative. I think it was all because of the negative towards him.
Yeah, of course.
I don't think the rest of the Bears, I mean, yeah, they kind of, the defense kind of fell apart a little bit last week, but it's all been about Trubisky.
It's really about Trubisky. They can nitpick at a number of things, but it's really about Trubisky, isn't it? I mean, let's be honest. Jones and the Giants, they've lost six in a row. Remember when they won two straight and it was Danny Dimes and Counting Crows songs and all fun and games? Now it's six straight losses.
Yep.
For the
Giants. We're getting that to that dangerously close period of let Eli play. Give him one more game.
Let's say goodbye to Eli in a lost season for the Giants.
Well, maybe they will in the last. I hope they do in the last
game. I hope
game.
They do once, right? Don't they? Shouldn't they do it one time?
Do it in the last game.
Yeah. Let them say goodbye to Eli. You don't get to do it in the NFL very often, but if you can manipulate it a little bit, do it. Do it.
Yeah. Final game of the season. Giants are at home against the Eagles.
Right. Yeah. Well, okay. Yeah. Let Eli play in that one.
Let him play.
Steelers and Bengals. Eh. I was all in on the Steelers going into that Thursday night game last week. Like, if they beat the Browns and they could do that, oh my God, they'll be 6-4. Yeah, well, they're not. They're 5-5. And the Bengals are 0-10, so you got that.
And how many references are you going to have to Mason Rudolph, Myles Garrett?
Over and over again. What's the over-under on that one, I wonder?
I don't know.
References to the fight? How many references to Mason Rudolph?
How many references to the new alarming revelation?
Alarming revelation.
True
do the Bengal fans? Do the Bengal fans use that at all? Do they yell at him and call him names because of what's been said about him?
I don't wish ill will to your team, just like I know you don't wish ill will onto mine. But I do hope that the Bengals do get a win at some point. Maybe not this week, but some point soon, so our man can join his family for Thanksgiving.
That's right. That's right. He's on that roof.
Well, I mean, man. If he doesn't get a win this week, he's not coming down. For Thanksgiving.
Family's going to have to join him on top of the roof.
Thanksgiving on the roof. So bring your Skyline chili.
Get down from there. It's you. Your point is well taken.
Yeah, just admit, you know what? I was dumb for doing this.
That's right. Browns against the Dolphins. Now we're talking some pressure for Cleveland. These are games you have to win, must win. You have to win them. You're 4-6. 10-6 might get you in, but 9-7 probably will not. You have got to win some games. And the Dolphins are not good. You got to beat them. Go beat them. Don't beat yourself.
If they're to lose this game, will they blame it on the fact that they're missing some key players on defense?
Could be.
I don't know who's missing on defense, but you know, I've heard rumors that they're missing.
Heard
some
rumors
players.
They're missing some guys, right? Yeah, but you better beat the Dolphins. Dolphins are ripe for the taking. Go beat them because you got to win these games. All right, coming up, we'll give you the rest of the NFL schedule next as we tell you what to watch and what not to watch in week number 12 of the NFL week. It's SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM.
Listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Yeah, Ron is, we're hitting the Grammy hits of 2019.
Oh yeah, you know this one.
Best artist, best song, and best album? Is that the ones we're doing?
I'm doing best record, best song, but I have to deviate from the final two songs here.
Okay.
Because the rest of the songs in the category best song, they're too slow.
Yeah, gotcha.
They're way too slow, and we can't play them.
Hudson Mason coming up in about 15 minutes. We'll have talked to him about the college football weekend, including the big game Penn State, Ohio State. Also, his Georgia Bulldogs in Athens will be playing Texas A&M. While they've won the East, you don't want to sleep on the Aggies. Improve visibility and save money at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Stop by for their See Better Drive Safer Sale, where you can earn a $15 gift card after a mail-in rebate When you purchase either Sylvania headlight bulbs or Bosch Focus or Trico Titan wiper blades, they'll even install those wiper blades for free while you wait. Don't risk your safety because of poor visibility. Let the professional parts people at O'Reilly help you find just what you need. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every single day. All right, so we are continuing along on the NFL schedule for this upcoming weekend. I'm trying to figure out where we left off on my list here because we did the Steelers and Bengals and Dolphins and Browns, and now we got the Saints and the Panthers. That's coming up in New Orleans. I don't know what happened to the Panthers. Somebody please tell me what went on. Because the Panthers at one point with Colin Allen were super hot. Remember, they had won four in a row and five out of six. They had a big loss to the 49ers where they bounced back nice against Tennessee. But they've dropped two in a row to the Packers and the Falcons, and now they're just kind of a mediocre 5-5.
You want to know when it happened?
When?
The drop-off seemed to happen right around the announcement that Cam Newton was being shut down for the season.
Oh, wow.
So
okay.
I don't know if Kyle Allen was sitting there having to play above the level, or the rest of the Panthers were rallying behind him to play above the level. But as soon as it was known that Cam Newton will not return this season because of that foot injury, it just seemed like the team just like, oh, okay, well,
yeah,
let's relax.
Saints are good at 10-8-2. We know that. But I thought the Panthers were playing pretty good football, and they had the MVP lately. Yeah, that's right. They did.
And now he's completely out of the conversation.
Yep, not even in the conversation at all. Still a pretty decent game given the division, but this had more push. This had more push a couple of weeks ago. I don't think it has as much today.
Yeah, none of pop in it now.
Jets hosting the Raiders.
Ooh.
Are the Raiders good?
We'll find out.
Have we figured this out yet about the Raiders? I mean, not good. Like, well, the record is 6-4, but I mean, wild card. You'd be worried about them if you played them. Good.
I think wild card is probably feasible because there's no one else really challenging.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe Indianapolis makes a run at it. But if Oakland wins, I mean, they're tied with the Chiefs.
They've won three in a row, but I wouldn't say this is an impressive resume, the Lions, Chargers, and Bengals. I mean, games were close. Charger game, I still think Chargers should have won that one. Bengals had it to a one-score game. Josh Jacobs has done very well for his rookie season. I just don't know if the Raiders are good. I mean, 6-4, I'm not going to take that away from them. I just don't know if they're good. But
no,
still.
I hear you. I'm with you.
Curious to see where they go.
And this is one of those games that it's a must win.
Yep,
they have to win this to keep their name in the conversation.
Listen to this. This is interesting. The Eagles are playing Seattle at the Link. The Eagles are a home team. They're favored by a point. This is basically a pick 'em, as our mad Adam Burns from Bet Online said yesterday. That's a little surprising to me. Seahawks are 8-2 and fantastic on the road. They're 5-0. The Eagles, man, I don't know what I get with the Eagles. Sometimes I get a good performance. Sometimes I don't. It's been up and down. They do have issues of age. But nevertheless, I don't know. Betting lines are a little different than our perception, but yeah, this is a pick'em game.
No, and I get ready to watch a team try to run all over that Seattle defense.
That's right. That's
true. Because apparently the Eagles are in the same camp as the Colts and don't have any wide receivers.
Yeah, they're very good point. So that's
that's a must watch.
Settle down. Eagles are fighting the Dallas Cowboys for the division. They're a game behind the Cowboys as we speak. And Seattle fighting for the division against the Niners. Look, you don't want to be a wild card team even if you're secured in it, even though you know your record's good enough to at least get something. You don't want to be a wild card team. Be a home team in the division. Either that or get a first round bye. Redskins at the Lions. Yikes. Just to laugh at the Redskins, can we do that? Or did you see the video of Dwayne Haskins like urging his offensive line to play? To play well?
Yeah, that was...
Yeah, it's kind of
sad. That's not a good look.
No, it's not a good look. It's sad.
This is not going to be a good game.
It's like having a friend that's is with that company that is just awful. Yeah, you feel bad for him. He gets up every day and he goes to work at that bad company, and you're like, oh, get out of there.
Remind me, who did the Redskins play last week? Was it the Giants?
The Jets.
Right. And that was pretty much in front of an empty stadium.
Right.
This one... God, this one's going to be, I think it's going to be emptier.
You can get a ticket for this game for $5, I saw online.
Yes!
$5 to see an NFL game.
That actually is the only appeal to the whole thing.
Yeah, that's right. That's the only appeal. Listen, this is what we were talking about, right? Remember yesterday when I made that big thing about one side of the office does this, the other side of the office does that? Like, it does help when you try to build a championship team to help the other side of the office make some money.
Yeah. Nah, this is Yeah,
you mentioned being a season tickets. Well, the season tickets for the Redskins are still on the list, but individual tickets or team sponsorships or whatever. Oh,
it's, this has got to be a hard sell. I would not want to be a ticket rep for this team.
No, not at all.
Just calling business after business. I already know the answer.
I know.
I have to get my cold calls in. Can you help me out, please?
I know we're the laughing stock of the league. Yeah, I know. But still, it's fun for the whole family.
You think they're going to some of the visitors in Washington, D.C., like, you know, during these hearings?
Oh, like the tourist part? Like,
No.
Go see the Lincoln Memorial.
I'm talking about the people working who don't normally work in D.C. but are there for the hearings.
Oh, yeah.
Whether it be people actually on trial or reporters reporting, going to them like, hey, man, I got great seats. You just need a break on Sunday?
That's right. Surprise. Like, while you're in the D.C. area, visit these number of great attractions, including Redskins football for prices as low as $5. I worked in minor league basketball. We didn't have tickets $5.
I'm hoping, and somebody please take a photo of someone just outside the Smithsonian handing out flyers.
Right. Completely.
No. Hey, come to our game. I want a player to do that. Come to our game. You know, we're a good show.
The Titans and Jaguars. It would have been a lot better if Gardner Minshew was visiting Nashville.
Yes, it would.
Starting the
quarterback. He would own Nashville. He might still own Nashville by the end of the night.
Actually, well, since he's backing up, he should have a good time on Broadway.
You know what? He needs to go out Saturday night.
He does.
He needs to hit Broadway at Saturday night. I mean, just to see the random pop-up photos, videos of him, I think that's worth the tickets alone.
I had a friend of mine offer me tickets to this game. He said, I'll sell it to you for $50 a ticket, normally like $125 or whatever it was. I said, man, no. My kid is out. But the Titans are pretty good.
But if Gardner Minshew was playing.
If Gardner Minshew was playing, I might buy it off.
There you
of
go.
I might
the Minshew factor.
Titans are playing better. Ryan Tannehill at quarterback now. They've won three of their last four. There is a buzz in the city now about making a playoff push. I'm happy for the people here that root for this team because I've lived here a while and they've had the number two pick and they've had lousy football. I went to a game with the Steelers. The place was empty except for Steeler fans. It's nice to see a little bit of buzz in the city about a team that's as mediocre as it gets. This team never pops. It goes about 8-8. That's about average for this team, sometimes 6-10. And the one year that they were absolutely abominable and they went, I think, 2-14. But Jacksonville still is a threatening game. It's a good game for the bottom end of the division, like last night's game was for the top. But don't hold your breath. Cowboys Patriots, 5-star baby, right here, right?
This game would have been flexed.
Tom Brady 4-0 all time against the Cowboys. Cowboys are the number one passing offense in the NFL. With Dak Prescott, they're 6-4, leading the division by one game over Philadelphia. Patriots defense giving up 10 points per game. That's amazing. They're 9-1. The offense, though, not to Tom Brady's liking. This is going to be fun. Watch this one, man.
Yeah, I guarantee this game would have been flexed.
You get Jim Nance and Romo on the CBS call, right? Or is it Fox?
No. This is Fox.
This is Fox. This is Buck and Aikman.
Hey, they were talking about it.
That's right, because the Cowboys are the traveling team.
They were talking about it last night and excited for it.
Boy, Joe Buck's got some frequent flyer miles on that private jet. Does he not?
Mm-hmm.
And he is flying all over the place.
I hope he swings by and picks up Troy.
Maybe so. Sunday night was flexed. 49ers and Packers. This is outstanding. Aaron Rodgers against the 49ers defense and Jimmy Garoppolo against the Packers. How great
is
that?
And remember what I said earlier this week. If the trend continues with two teams with this few losses this late in the season, the winner of this game goes on to win the Super Bowl.
That's right. What a trend.
So let's watch for that. That'll be one of our overreactions on Monday.
49ers at 9-1. And that one loss came in the last second of an overtime game.
Yep.
Unbelievable.
Could be 10-0.
Could have been 10-0 if that kicker didn't shank that ball like he did when he had a chance to win it in OT.
Yep.
Packers, though, at 8-2. This is a really good one from Michaels and Collinsworth. Monday night, Ravens and Rams.
That's not too bad.
Not too bad.
Not
Rams,
too shabby.
Rams can still rear an ugly head every now and then, but this is Lamar Jackson going up against the NFC champs.
This is his L.A. debut, right?
That's right. That's right. The L.A. debut. Chiefs, Vikings, Cardinals, and Chargers, they all have the weekend off.
What a waste of a pretty face. What a waste, that face. What a waste. What a waste of a pretty face. That face, what a waste. That face.
What a waste of a pretty face. What a waste, that face, that face. What a waste. What a waste of a pretty face. That face, what a waste, that face, that face.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, before we get to Hudson Mason, this is a Grammy-nominated song.
Best
Seriously?
Rock. Best rock category.
Really? I never heard of this.
Neither have I. I don't even know how this is rock.
I don't either. That's Doesn't like- sound like... Kiss to me.
No, that's why I brought it in. I think the idea of rock has kind of changed. It's morphed into whatever the hell this is.
No kidding. Well, we're doing Grammy nominated songs, but we bring in Hudson Mason to this. Maybe he knows this song. He probably does. He's hip and he knows college football. And he joins us in SB Nation AM. How are you, my friend?
Tony, good morning.
Good morning. Big weekend in Columbus, Ohio State, Penn State. My big question on this, Hudson, does Penn State have an offense that can keep up with an Ohio State offense if Ohio State's offense gets on track?
No, and I don't think there's many teams that you can make that case for in college football. The good thing is that they've got a really good defense, you know, 13th best defense in the country. And, you know, Chase Young comes back and Ohio State with the number one overall defense in the country. I think it's going to be a great game. Mainly because of the two defenses. And look, I think obviously we expect this to be, you know, I don't think it's going to be in the 40s, maybe a lower scoring game, high 20s because of the defenses. But I'm excited to see, you know, Justin Fields get an opportunity to finally go up against a legit NFL-type defense with a lot of guys that are going to be playing on Sundays. And you can make the same case for Sean Clifford, who – has had a really good season, 2,500 yards, 22 touchdowns. I know he had a game against Minnesota that wasn't his best performance. But, you know, here's a kid who's going back home to a state of Ohio. He wasn't recruited by the state school, Ohio State. So, you know, I got to believe he's going to be playing with a chip on his shoulder. And, look, the college football playoff amplifications that are around this game, if Ohio State wins, they're right back in the mix.
In terms of the rankings, on Tuesday night, there was this argument that was made like, well, you know, everyone's in love with LSU after what they did against Alabama. That's great. But my God, they gave up a lot of yards in that game, and they gave up a lot of yards against Ole Miss. But Ohio State could be the number one team. The committee did not see it that way. But do you see that argument?
No, I believe the number one team right now in the country is LSU because of the strength of schedule. Now, look. If you look on the horizon of the teams that Ohio State is going to play the next couple weeks, this week obviously a top 10 team and Penn State, then you got Michigan next weekend, and then the Big Ten Championship. If Ohio State runs the table, you know, they will be able to stand up there and say, hey, look at our strength of schedule. It's just as tough as LSU or even Georgia. I know Georgia has that one loss, but, you know, if they beat Texas A&M this weekend, that'll be four wins against top 25 teams. So Ohio State, not number one in my book right now. They are obviously a top four team. I've got them at number three. But I do believe they're the most complete team. And I think from, you know, all 22, if you rank them 1 to 22, I think Ohio State is the most complete team. Now they get Chase Young back. But where we are right now, in the second to last week of the college football season, it just, you know, the way the scheduling guys kind of laid this out for the Buckeyes, some of their best teams are in the last 2 weeks, the last 3 weeks of the season.
Is there a concern when you look at what LSU is going to play Arkansas, and they're going to go to play Georgia, and that's a team that can score. They're going to go to the playoffs, and now you're talking about some really good teams that can put some numbers up. Does that defensive lapse a little bit, the way they can give up some yardage, would that concern you as a national championship run for LSU?
Oh, absolutely. I was looking back the other day since the BCS era started in 1998, which is when the Vols won. There's only been one team that's won a national championship without a top 25 defense, and that was Cam Newton's Auburn team a couple years ago. And so you look at that and you go, okay, obviously Joe Burrow isn't Cam Newton, and I don't mean that on a knock at all, but, you know, you look at LSU, they're more of a Big 12 team, really. They're pass first, which I don't think necessarily is a knock, but when people think Big 12 team, they think really, really bad defense. And I am surprised this year that LSU's defense isn't as good. Grant Delpit, a guy who, you know, may be the first guy in the secondary taken in the draft this year. They've you know, historically been really good. They got good players. I don't know because they're having to play more snaps because their offense is scoring so quickly this year. They get worn down easily or easier. But absolutely, I think LSU's defense is a concern. And if you're talking about them, you know, against Georgia, who doesn't put up a ton of numbers, but they're going to wear you out running the football, it makes for an intriguing matchup. I think history doesn't lie. And when I saw that, or when I, you know, kind of discovered that a team hadn't won a national championship, or one team has without a top 25 defense, it made me pause and go, man, we know their offense is good, but history tells us that, you know, you better have a pretty good defense to win this thing.
You know, we talk about the SEC, and everybody who, you know, follows college football knows, hey, look, it's a tough schedule week in and week out. But what Georgia's got on their plate in the last few weeks has been to play Florida in Jacksonville. You get the game against Mizzou that's light, but then Auburn, this emotional game at Auburn. And then you got to come right back and you got to prepare for a Texas A&M team that has three losses, and two of them are to Alabama and Clemson, and the other one to a good Auburn team. There's no rest for the weary here.
No, there's not. And here's another tidbit of information that people may not know about Georgia's. Every game they've played since the cocktail party against Florida, their opponent has been coming off a bye week.
Right,
so every single team they're playing, including this weekend against Texas A&M, their opponent has had 2 weeks to prepare for them. So it's unbelievable. And Kirby Smart, the way he's, you know, I know they don't win big and they don't win sexy, you know, but to me, Tony, they pass the eye test because of their defense. They're one of the best in the country. And it's funny because, you know, we talk about LSU and Ohio State and all these explosive offenses, and we go, ooh, they pass the eye test. But it doesn't work the same way when we talk about great defenses. And that's a bit frustrating. I think it's because of the era we live in where it's all about offense and all about style points. And it should work both ways, but, you know, it doesn't for Georgia's defense.
Texas A&M, I mean, look, I brought that up earlier, the fact that they have three losses and they're some of the best teams in the country that they've lost to. What's the biggest threat to Texas A&M? Because for Georgia, they've got the East wrapped up, but if they want to get into the playoff, they can't lose again.
No, you're exactly right. I mean, Georgia's playing a winning get-in scenario. They've been playing that ever since the cocktail party.
Right.
And so, you know, Texas A&M's a good team. They really are. People laugh when you kind of say that because they just look at the box score and they look at their overall record, but they don't realize, you know, three of Texas A&M's lost, they're like Auburn or versus top 15 team. You know, they come against Alabama. They come against
Clemson.
Yeah. I mean, their schedule's brutal. It's one of the toughest in the country. So, you know, I think Kellen Mond is a really good quarterback. I'm not going to loosely throw around the word great, but he is a top tier quarterback in college football. He's not in that top one tier with Tua and Joe Burrow, but I'd put him in the tier two category. And what makes him so lethal is, man, he can kill you with his arms and his legs. And Jimbo Fisher is a great quarterback developer. And, you know, Texas A&M has two receivers in the top 25, I believe, top 30 in the country in yards and catches. So their defense has just struggled to run the football. And, you know, that's obviously Georgia's forte. So it's going to be the mud bowl in Athens tomorrow. It's supposed to rain, and you wonder how that could probably play into effect and favor Georgia with the ground game. But I expect the Dogs to win. I expect them to win, but I don't expect it to be by a lot. It's just, you know, that typical ground and pound, play good defense, don't turn the ball over, and, you know, Georgia wins by 7-9 points, you know.
Hudson, I don't mean to make you get into the mind of the committee, but I want your thoughts on this. Oklahoma has one loss this year, and that's to Kansas State on the road. It's not great, but it ain't terrible. And they beat a Baylor team that was unbeaten but not highly ranked by the committee. And the committee said, look, even though you beat an unbeaten Baylor team, you're at 9. And there's a lot of teams behind of you. Now, I know attrition will rid us of some of the teams above them. But is the committee saying something about the Pac-12 and Oklahoma? I mean, you got Jalen Hurts, Lincoln Riley's one of the top coaches in the country. What is it saying to that conference?
Well, I think the Big 12's done, in my opinion. And I think, to your point, I mean, I think I said this on your show last week, but I thought if Oklahoma was still going to have a chance to get in, that game last week between Baylor needed to be close, because then I thought the committee would look at it and they go, okay, this Baylor team is better than we think, and then they would value that win more. And that couldn't be further from the truth, seeing the way the committee reacted to Oklahoma's win, especially coming back from 25 points without CeeDee Lamb, their best player. So that to me was shocking, and I think the Big 12's out. I can see the writing on the wall. I may be wrong, but I think this is going to come down to Alabama and Oregon. And, you know, if Oregon beats Utah, they'll have a nice top 10 win. If Alabama beats Auburn in 2 weeks, remember, the committee has Auburn, I believe, ranked right around 15, if not at 15 right now, with three losses. So that tells you how they perceive Auburn, and those three losses, kind of like Texas A&M, came to top 15 teams. So if Alabama gets that win, and specifically if Alabama wins on the road and they win convincingly by 10 or more points, I think Alabama's still in this thing because they'll have a nice win on their resume. Oregon will have that nice win, and then, you know, it's going to be the committee trying to figure out strength of schedule. I think it'll come down to eye test there, which is, you know, so subjective.
I agree with you on the Alabama thing. That's the question I've got, is if I'm on the committee and somebody gives me the Alabama scenario, I would say, well, I need to see them beat Auburn by a certain amount. I don't even know what that amount is, but if they squeaked by the Tigers, I would right. be cautious. I just think Alabama's got to kind of not blow them out per se, but you're right. I think they got to win convincingly to stay in the conversation if that's the last thing we're going to see them do.
No, and yeah, I mean, you're right with me. I think, you know, like I said, if it comes down to the Pac-12 championship, Utah will probably be top 10. It'll be a great win for Oregon. And then, you know, late in the season, the eye test matters. And so Mac Jones, the backup quarterback, you know, he gets his second start this week against Western Carolina. And I just think Alabama is so uber talented around Mac Jones that he doesn't have to be Tua. No, duh, he's not going to be Tua Tagovailoa. I mean, nobody's Tua really in college football. But when you're playing at Alabama, you don't have to be. I mean, you've got Biletnikoff Award winners surrounded by you. You've got one of the best offensive lines. So, you know, it's all about playing within that system.
Hudson, I was going over some game notes in the SEC. Are you in Starkville this weekend?
I am, man. Headed to Stark, Vegas.
Not bad. Mississippi State, Abilene Christian. Really good.
Yeah.
I'm glad. Good luck with that game this weekend. Always good catching up with you, my friend.
Thanks, Tony. See you next week, man.
You got it. Bulldogs and Wildcats in Starkville for Hudson Mason on the SEC Network. That's coming up on Saturday night. Good for him. All right, we'll come back. More college thoughts, including other games this weekend that I got my eye on next. SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, who sings this song? This is in the rock category?
Vampire Weekend.
Okay, I don't know who that is.
This song is called Harmony Hall.
And it's in the rock category.
Yep.
Amazing. These are Grammy-nominated songs, people. Grammy-nominated songs.
Grammy-nominated.
This hour of SB Nation Radio, presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. I do this every single year, and it's kind of like a little bit of a tradition at this time. We get all a buzz this weekend about who, right? We go into rankings. We go into playoff committee now. It used to be BCS formula. We got these big games coming up. This is going to shake this. This is going to shake that. If this team wins this, this means something for this team. But you know what is starting this weekend? And I know you might chuckle. The Division III college football playoffs. Chuckle if you will, Ron Culver, but the Division III college football playoffs are going to be underway. There are 32 teams in the college football playoff in Division III. And somehow they make this work. I don't know how, but somehow they make this work. Teams like Brockport going up against Western New England. MIT is in this thing. SUNY Maritime is in this thing. Redlands, Huntington, Berry College in Georgia.
All right,
Monmouth in Illinois.
When
Hope, I don't even know what that is.
When you're laughing that they somehow make this work.
They make this work.
Is it more of a oh my God, D3, you actually have teams making it work, or is it, hey, Division One, get off your bleep.
Somehow the Division Two and the Division Three playoffs can exist, can exist.
But we can't have them in Division One.
No, Division One. No, we got four. That's all we can muster.
I mean, how great would it be if we started, like, say, mid you know, beginning of December.
Like this weekend.
Well, no. We know keep it like it is. But then, everyone, you had the conference championship weekend, right?
Right.
And then you get a break because then you get Army Navy, and then that following weekend starts a playoff.
Right. Okay. All right. I can see that. Yeah.
Because we literally
need a huge break.
We literally would go 3-4 weeks without football. Meaningful
those bowls,
football.
Man, they are so powerful. Those bowl games, that bowl entity, they are so powerful.
But see,
they weren't.
You know what? But with the playoff, you're finding ways to keep the bowl name attached to it.
In some capacity. But these, I mean, because the problem with the bowl using the bowls is the travel, right? It's travel for fans. They can't travel to everything, so they can't go. But here, like Huntington, I don't even know where Huntington is. They're playing Barry, and I know Barry's out of Georgia because that's not far from us. But Barry is playing Huntington at Huntington. It's just a campus game. Just make it a campus game, and then next week they'll redo this again. But I bring this up every year because, look, these we always talk about the impossibility of it, and yeah, I understand a lot of obstacles in Division I, and you would lose the sense of urgency, but they found, with all the Division III teams playing football, only 32 make it, so there is still a sense of urgency on Saturdays to get in this thing. But this weekend, those Division III schools you've never heard of, you don't watch unless you're really, really local or have your kid go there, they're playing. They're playing a playoff.